Podcast, Episode 12, Talking Bad Karma with Seth Peck. I am back from New York. Some of you know I was recently in New York for the annual New York Comic Con, where I recorded the past couple of podcasts. If you haven't heard those, go to comicsforbeginners.com/blog, where you will find blog posts, of course, but also all the previous podcasts. Lots of other cool stuff at the site, comicsforbeginners.com. Please remember to go by there and leave a comment if you see anything you like or don't like. We'd love to hear your comments. Like I said, I'm back from NYCC. I'm back at my studio here in Copenhagen. A bit tired. Don't know if it's jet lag or just the fact that I have a four-year-old who still comes into our bed at night and mucks about, waking me up. And sometimes I have a hard time falling back asleep. Well, I know this will probably end at some point. I have an older daughter who sleeps in her own bed, so that's good. Tomorrow I fly off to Paris, and from there on to Saint-Malo, the city of Saint-Malo, where I'll be attending another comics convention, and I will be sure to be posting about, probably be recording some podcasts there as well. However, I did record more podcasts while I was in New York, and I'll be putting those up during the coming weeks, months, maybe, I don't know. I met so many great people there, some of which I knew online, but it's great to put a name to the face of people you only talk to on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And today's episode is with exactly one of those people that I met in New York and whom I'd only known online before. He's part of the Bad Karma Writing Collective. I had a chance to get him on tape, or whatever you call these things, iPhones. So you could say today's episode is about the good thing about bad karma. I'm here at the New York Comic Con with my new best friend, Seth Peck, who is a crime writer. He works in comics, and he's also part of the Bad Karma Writing Collective. We are sitting in his booth, I think I owe this man some money, because yesterday we ended up talking crime novels for an hour while all the customers drifted by not buying anything. So here I am stealing your thunder again. You're the last man standing. What happened to the other two?
Clay and Alex headed back to Kansas City this morning. Just getting out a little early to beat the traffic, but I stuck around to man the fort and continue selling our wares here at the Comic Con. And I love the city, and I don't go to many cons. This is really the only one I try to go to every year, so I'm happy to hang around as long as possible and maybe talk some more crime novels while we're at it. So for sure.
Yeah, we should try to avoid that topic on this podcast, or it will run way too long. But tell us a little bit about what is Bad Karma.
Bad Karma, it's sort of a writing collective. A lot of times in comics, you'll come across an artist studio, which is sort of a loose grouping of four or five, either like-minded or maybe similar artists that are, you know, nearby in a community, and they sort of form a collective, or they work in a studio. This is kind of maybe trying to apply that concept to writers. The four of us, we're all good friends. We all write different sorts of things. Jeremy Hahn is traditionally known as an artist, but had wanted to get into writing, and being a good friend of ours and knowing kind of his strengths and what he wants to do, and giving him an opportunity to write, we brought him into the group. And Alex Grecian is a New York Times best-selling mystery novelist of The Yard and The Black Country, and his upcoming book is called The Devil's Workshop. Clay is also a comic book writer that's done Marvel and DC work. B. Clay Moore, yes. He's a strong interest in comics. He kind of broke out of the scene with Hawaiian Dick, which is a tropical noir crime story. I had done some Image work, a book called 76 with Clay and a couple artists that was a 1970s crime story. So we had this sort of shared love of crime, and although we dabbled in other things, I'd done some Marvel work, some X-Men and Wolverine. Our first love, or our shared love, was maybe some different kind of genre work. So we wanted to form this group as a way to, on one hand, it was a way to workshop each other's ideas. It was nice to have feedback from guys that you know and respected. You know, it's always nice to get feedback on your work, but when you can get feedback from someone who you know their voice and you know the kind of work that they're capable of, you know how good they are, then it really, when they're evaluating your work, it's really like getting a professional opinion. And when it's a friend, you know that they're comfortable being candid with you. I know if I'm showing Clay a script or bouncing an idea off him, he's not going to sugarcoat things for me. He's going to tell it to me, you know, if it's not good or if it needs work or if it's got a weakness, he's comfortable pointing that out to me. And I think as a writer, you need that. You need honest feedback. And it doesn't always have to be another professional writer. You know, it could be a friend, it could be a sibling, but someone who you know can give you some trusted feedback. You know, I can show a script to my mom and she's going to love it. I mean, if it's terrible, she's my mom and she kind of has to.
Right.
So it was, on one hand, it was that. It was a way to make ourselves better writers. And likewise, when you're putting a project together like this and you're all putting stories into this one book, you know, it's sort of like when you play a sport and you're playing with the best athletes. You up your game. You know, you try that much harder. You know, the bar is raised because it's in a friendly way. It's competitive. You know, I don't want Clay to outdo me. I want to do the best work I can. So it was, like I said, it was a way to workshop our writing. It was a way to come together as friends. It's a little bit social. It's fun for us to do things in a group, but. It's just a way to kind of bring all the things we love about writing, the things we love about comics, and create a home for it and tell the stories we want to tell, free from any sort of having to run it by a publisher that might be looking for a particular type of story. This is a chance for us to say, what kind of story do I want to tell? My own story. And I'll back up just a little bit here. The project
describe the book for us for a second.
Yeah. It's a 200-page hardcover anthology. Each of the four of us created a concept, an original concept for this book that's got a full-length story, a full 20, 22-page story. And then we also came together on a fifth concept that we all collaborated on. We all did the writing, which was an experiment in itself, a sort of a writing room style, putting the script together. And then Jeremy, as I mentioned earlier, is also an illustrator. He illustrated the story for us. So it's five concepts. And then sprinkled through there are a handful of short stories, smaller, you know, 3, 5, 8-page stories that take place in those universes. And it sort of allowed us to play in each other's sandbox a little bit, in that the story I created, Hellbent, is a sort of a love letter to James Ellroy and H.P. Lovecraft, who are two guys whose work I love. But the last thing I want to do is try and write a James Ellroy story or an H.P. Lovecraft story, because I don't want to do something that's only derivative of something I love. I wanted to find a way to take the things about those stories that I love and have them influence a unique creation that's not really beholden to any of those worlds. So mine's sort of a Victorian England, London 1891 supernatural noir kind of. It's got some monsters, but it's centered around a protagonist who's. A protagonist, maybe in a loose sense of the word, but is a bad cop. He's a bad guy, but is fighting things much worse than him. So in sort of an Ellroy way, he's by default our hero. So I wrote that, and then Clay wrote a smaller story that's set in that universe that tells sort of a supplementary tale that my character makes a cameo in, but is, you know, is wholly Clay getting to play with that universe. Likewise, Jeremy created a sort of a science fiction action concept called Chaos Agent, which is about the forces of order and chaos sort of operating secretly in our world for control. And I wrote a short story based in his universe, telling sort of a side tale. Alex Grecian's is a story called Middleton, which is kind of his elevator pitch for it is, what if Encyclopedia Brown, the boy detective, grew up to become Sherlock Holmes, then invented a time machine, went back in time to solve a crime with himself. So it sounds complicated, but it's a really fun idea. And it's got time travel, and it's got detectives, and it's...
what more do you need?
Right, exactly. It's got everything. So, and then there's short stories set in that as well. So,
who are some of the artists that contributed to the book?
Our main artists, Mike Tisserand illustrated Chaos Agent, which is Jeremy's story. Ty Walker illustrated Hellbent. He's an artist that I worked with previously on my crime story. So it was fun to get to go back and work with him, and we work well together. So it was a very comfortable fit. Phil Hester, who's done a ton of his own work, he's also a writer and artist, illustrated Middleton. And Christopher Mitten, who's another phenomenal artist, illustrated Old Dog, which is Clay's 1950s, a little bit Elroy-ish, but yeah, very hard-boiled, kind of straightforward noir detective story. And then we had pinups and short stories from Ben Temple Smith and Chris Somney. Jonathan Hickman designed the book for us. Just really a who's who of some of the greatest guys in comics and guys that are our friends and guys we admire. And you know, we went out to people that we thought would bring something special to the book and help us put together what I think wound up being a very nice looking package. And it's fun to work with your friends. So it was fun to see the work from those guys. And it was a lot of fun putting the book together. And it was hard work, but, it's that love of what we're doing and really getting to be free creatively that made it very much a cliche, but a labor of love. I mean, it was very much fun watching the book come together and go through the various stages and see this artwork coming in from people and sitting in these meetings we would have, talking out ideas and coming up with fun ways to tie our stories together, because while they aren't, there's no direct link to each story, no character that runs through, there are themes and there are Easter eggs sort of hidden within the story that sort of show that it is a shared universe. So,
it's a self-contained book. You can pick it up and it's not part of a series, even though it says Volume 1 on it.
Correct, yes. All the stories are self-contained. We wanted to put together something that would be able to serve as a launch pad if we wanted to tell more stories within these universes, because we enjoyed creating them so much, but we also wanted the reader to feel like they were getting a complete experience. So each of the 5 stories is a beginning, middle, and end. Obviously, we wanted to create something that was rich enough that there was more story to tell if people, if people responded well to it, and if creatively, we wanted to revisit it. And then we also knew at some point in the future we would do a second volume or a third volume, fourth volume, maybe of all new concepts, maybe revisiting some of those. So, yeah, we did name it Volume 1, knowing that this was the first step in what will go on to be further bad karma work. So,
hopefully. But tell us about how you raised the money for this, because there's a lot of work put into this book, right?
We actually did the book through Kickstarter, which is sort of become well known now. It's a crowdfunding website, and basically you put together a pitch. This is what we want to do. This is what the book's going to look like. This is who's involved. We shot a video. It sort of served as a commercial, sort of informational purposes, and you set it up on the site. Generally you'll offer incentives. Let's say a backer pledged $30. It's basically they're pre-ordering the book. So it's not a charity. Give $30 and you're going to get a copy of this book. And then there were increased levels. There were T-shirts we had available, coasters, limited edition prints, sketch editions, signed editions, slipcase hardcovers. So a lot of different packages for people that wanted to back it, all the way down to, a $5 contribution to, we actually had a gentleman in Dubai pledge $5,000, which was to actually have Jeremy go to Dubai and do an appearance and bring some copies of the book. And so there was, a little bit of something for everybody. But it's a unique way of funding a project, and it's cool in that it allows, not only does the audience get to feel like they're part of what's making this book happen, because as a creator, you're always grateful for support. But this, it's almost twofold in that, they made this happen. The people that backed this book, the people that had faith in it, were interested in it, were excited about what we were doing, they're the reason it happened. So, we list everyone that contributed is listed in the book as a contributor. And it's a unique way, and I think it's very much, not only is it a new outlet for creators and a new way to to get a project funded, but I think it's a new way to interact directly with your audience. You know, whereas a publisher may publish a book and it goes out to various specialty shops and you hope that people will find the book, this is very much a way to directly find your audience, you know, in a sense, many times before the project is fully created. So we set our goal of 18,500, and that was taking into account, you know, publishing costs, the printing, because, you know, it's all done. We do it all ourselves. You arrange everything yourself, paying artists, paying colorists and letters and all the different incentives, fulfillments for T-shirts and stickers and all these things. And you have a month. You put it on the website, and you have 1 month to raise the $18,500. We actually exceeded our goal. We pretty much doubled it. We finished close to $37,000, which in turn allowed us to put more of that money back into the production and really put together what I think is an amazing looking book, and you know, give that back to the people that supported us.
Right.
We talked a little bit about before that it's a brave new world, that there are many other new outlets for art and stories. What do you have? What do you suggest for people who are just starting out making comics? What kind of venues should they be looking at?
I think, with like you mentioned there, we're in a new place now with publishing, with ebooks and you know, things like Kickstarter, which can fund a project like this. But there are, you know, there's Kindle Worlds, where they're, you know, publishers are opening up different things that they own to, you know, what in the past was fan fiction, to where now it's getting those people a broader readership, and there's a lot more you know, there's a lot more sharing of information. There are a lot of books on how to write, how to get published, but you know, now with the internet and with sites, you know, and what, you know, what you're doing here, it, you know, there are more and more ways to find information and to get share, you know, to get to share information with others, to sort of share experiences, get feedback, get tips. You know, there's, you know, something as simple as, you know, a Tumblr account, or, you know, a blog where you can put your work and get people to follow it, and you know, promotion is handled differently now in an age with Twitter and Facebook, and you know, there are a lot more ways to go. There are a lot more ways to go and promote your work. You know, you can publish your, you know, something as small and as simple as your own blog, and then promote that on Twitter, promote that on Facebook. You know, find your audience and interact with them. You know, it, as a writer, when you seek out feedback, you know, you many times have to prepare yourself for, you know, for somebody not enjoying your work or whatever. But I think, you know, most writers want to know what their readers think, and we're in an age now where that's faster and easier. And I guess it's not always a good thing, but you know, it's been rewarding for us with this book too. You know, we're all on Twitter, and we're all easy to get in touch with. So it's been rewarding to get the book out there, get it into the people's hands that backed it, to new people at shows like this at conventions, and then hear, you know, what they enjoyed. And you know, we're at an age where that's easier to do. But I think the advice I would give anyone that is looking to write, you know, is to really get yourself savvy with what is out there in terms of, you know, places to go for advice, places to get your work seen, find out what's worked for others, you know, and things like this podcast where, you know, you're looking to create sort of a toolbox for guys that are looking to do this for the first time or are new to it. And, you know, hear other people's experiences and what has worked for them.
Right.
Do you have one resource that you would like to direct people to, like a book or a blog or a podcast or whatever?
I actually teach in high school, and I speak a lot to English classes about writing. And the advice I always give people, I was big on Stephen King's On Writing, I think is a great book. I think it's very accessible. You know, I think that, you know, for someone looking to write, that kind of gives you a good overview. For myself, honestly, I think the most valuable thing, you know, the old adage is, you know, write every day. And I think that's the best advice in terms of actually producing the work. But the thing that is most valuable to me is finding that trusted reader. I think Stephen King calls him his constant reader. You know, that person out there that can give you candid, honest feedback, whether that's someone you meet online, whether that's a friend. I know Pally and I are in a couple different places. We're in sort of a community of writers online, which, you know, I can only assume we're one of many of these sorts of groups that are out there. But finding a group like that online and becoming a part of it is a good way to, like I said, get, you know, it's a way to share struggles and to learn from others' mistakes sometimes, but it's also a good way to, hear what's working for other people and hear, get some criticism or some feedback on your own work. But, to find out what's working and what isn't working and just sort of share information.
Right.
If people want to know more about Bad Karma, where do they go? The Kickstarter campaign has ended, so they can't go there to purchase the book, but where can they go?
Yeah, correct. The Kickstarter program is over. Obviously, we still show them at shows, but if you go to badkarmacreative.com, we have a Shopify site. People can buy the T-shirts, can buy the book. It's available electronically as an electronic version if you want to download it. We're also all on Twitter, Alex Grecian at twitter.com. Seth M. Peck at twitter.com, Jer Hahn, J-E-R Hahn at twitter.com, and B. Claymore at twitter.com. And we're all, like I said, we're all accessible, and you can follow us all there. We'll keep people posted on the next volume and appearances we might be making as well.
Great. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Comics for Beginners podcast. For tutorial videos and more hands-on tips on how to write and draw comics, go to comicsforbeginners.com.